$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast. This is one of our mini episodes. I'm your host, Mark Dillman, and with me, my co-host, Brian Higgins.
Yeah, hello.
And Rick is still in Maine.
Wow.
When will you come home to us, Rick?
Oh, won't you come home, dear Ricky?
Dear Ricky, dear Ricky.
Won't you come home to me?
There's a hole in my bucket.
Dear Ricky,
dear Ricky.
There's a hole
in my bucket. Dear Ricky, my boy. Oh, that's nice.
I always say hole.
Yeah. Listen to this transition, Brian.
Speaking of bucket holes.
You could get a hole in your shoe.
Yes, you could.
That you might be wearing while you're trying to dance.
Insert cricket noise here.
Well, that's supposed to lead us to the reviews that we had this past week, our full reviews of the 1980s dancing classic, Footloose.
The 1980s dancing film.
Yes. Not the modern day one that had, we got into a little bit, there was a remake, Juliana Hough was in it. Dennis Quaid played the John Lithgow part. Miles Teller was the Chris Penn part. I don't remember who played the Sarah Jessica Parker part. Those were some of the people in that one.
Wow.
And it wasn't much different from this original one that we had, that we saw, the 1984 classic. Now, Brian, did you have any kind of further thoughts about Footloose?
Maybe I was a little harsh in the reviews. I'm sure that the movie has its fans, and it wasn't necessarily entirely for me. It has some of its
charms.
Yeah,
it wasn't your style, but...
I wish it had a stronger story, because I think when you have a stronger story, it just makes for a better film no matter what.
Yeah.
But
the story is a good, obviously a key thing.
Like you said, it is something that you can just kind of put on and
The music's been stuck in my head for the past week. I mean, I can't... All those songs, Footloose has been... Some of those songs, like the ones that I've been thinking about, too, are some of just those lesser-known Kenny Loggins songs in the movie that I probably have heard a few times over the years, but you hear, like, the full gamut. You get, like, a full opening the floodgates of Kenny Loggins on you.
Yeah,
and he definitely was the music maestro of a lot of these 80s films at the time. So, yeah, like I said, I mean, it's just a fun movie. It's, like, it's one of those movies where like I said, I saw it when I was young, so I had that kind of nostalgia appreciation. But even to the point where I was like, why did they remake this movie? Like, unless you're bringing something new to the table, it's really not necessary, you know?
Yeah.
It's just fun. It's of the 80s. It's an 80s movie, and that's what it should sit
like
as.
Like, if you had something new to say with it, or if you had some revisions to the story to make it more timely, I can see that, but...
I mean, they did. They tried to update it in, like, they use newer music. Obviously, that's one of the things, is you bring in new music.
We banned MP3s.
I'm sure you had no streaming.
There will be no dabbing.
There's no Spotify in this town unless you pay the upcharge for no commercials.
Yeah, we do not have broadband.
Again, and that gives a chance for an artist to be like, I'm going to drop my new single on this soundtrack. Or do a remix of Footloose featuring Lil Wayne.
Footloose.
Which I could just imagine almost like a Vanilla Ice remake of, you know, when Ice Ice Baby was basically when he updated Under Pressure and the difference was like a hand clap. I could picture the updated Footloose song being like, Footloose, yeah! Like that's all they throw in or something like that. So some of the trivia items about this movie, Brian, they're quite interesting. In a 2013 interview with Howard Stern, Kevin Bacon admitted that he actually, at times, tips DJs at weddings not to play Footloose.
I do not blame him.
Because people will expect him to dance.
Well, yeah, I imagine everyone wants to see, like you said, at your high school parties, people can do the dances. I'm guessing they expect him to do all the dances.
Yeah.
I would not want that pressure.
Another thing we mentioned during the full reviews, it was kind of the awkward job of that cameraman who had to film all those dancing feet at the beginning. So apparently there were over 150 different pairs of feet that were filmed.
Oh, God.
And the dancer with the gold shoes, I don't remember any gold shoes, but apparently that was Kenny Loggins.
Oh, hey.
Who was wearing those shoes. The movie is loosely based on events that took place in a small, rural, and extremely religious farming town of Elmore City, Oklahoma, in 1978.
Oh, so maybe the movie's vaguely supposed to be set in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Dancing had been banned for nearly 90 years until a group of high school teenagers challenged it. So this is kind of based on a true story.
See, that I think is a little more interesting as a basis, though, versus like this one reverend has this individual event unique to him, and that is what is leading this ban, and then, you know, it's only a few years later. Like, if this is a long-standing tradition where it's just this is the accepted way,
right?
Then I think there's a lot more opportunities to explore this outsider coming in to challenge the status quo.
Yeah, but that's interesting. I didn't know there was a real story involved.
Write that movie.
Chris Penn could not dance, so they had to teach him in terms of what he already knew, wrestling. That's a weird fact.
Wow.
Kevin Bacon based his hairstyle on rocker Sting's spiky hairdo, as he was a big fan of the Police at the time. Ren also is a fan of the Police because they have that whole interchange.
Who?
The Police.
The who?
No, the Police. We've gone over that. This is really interesting. This is like a Cameron Crowe move here. With the principal's knowledge, so Kevin Bacon was 24 when he made this movie. 24-year-old Kevin Bacon actually was enrolled at Payson, Utah High School as, quote, Ren McCormick, a transfer student from Philadelphia, so he could get into his role. With that, he was wearing that narrow tie and he had that new wave haircut. He was pretty much treated the same as he is treated in the film. Bacon gratefully chose to leave with the location scouts on the afternoon of his first day in school.
So he did not last like Drew Barrymore in the film.
Nope.
Never been
kissed. Exactly. Did not work out. Something also I had mentioned in the full reviews. So Kevin Bacon was offered the leading role in Stephen King's movie Christine. But at the time, he was also asked to do a screen test for Footloose. So the producers convinced Bacon to turn down a surefire role in one movie for a part he might not even get in Footloose. But they told him that if he got this part, it would make him a star. And about 30 seconds into the screen test, he got the part. They knew it was for him, so... I think that was a good move for him because everyone remembers Kevin Bacon from this role. One part you brought up in the nudity section of IMDb, Kevin Bacon revealed that the co-ed extras in the locker room that showed their butts were paid $20 a piece to appear nude.
Yeah.
$20, the going rate. The character of Willard Hewitt, not even called out by that name in the original script, was specifically written by the author for Chris Penn in mind.
Oh.
He wrote it for Chris Penn. It makes me wonder with what Chris Penn... I mean, obviously he did a lot of movies around the time, but I thought this would have been one of his first ones. Like, what would he have seen him in?
Yeah.
We'll get into that probably. Kevin Bacon broke out in hives around his midsection when he had to film the city council scene where he makes the case to hold the prom. The actor says he was uncomfortable even when speaking in public, but he never had a reoccurrence of hives. This is one of my favorite pieces of trivia, Brian.
Oh, yeah?
So, Daryl Hannah turned down the offer to play Ariel Moore in order to play Madison in Splash.
Okay, that makes sense.
Ariel, mermaid.
Yeah.
That's interesting. But also, Elizabeth McGovern, who you may know as Lady Grantham on Downton Abbey, she turned down the role of Ariel to play Deborah Gelly in Once Upon a Time in America.
Okay.
Other actresses that turned down the role of Ariel: Melanie Griffith, Michelle Pfeiffer, Jamie Lee Curtis, Rosanna Arquette, Meg Tilly, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Heather Locklear, Meg Ryan, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Jodie Foster, Phoebe Cates, Tatum O'Neill, Bridget Fonda, Lori Loughlin, Diane Lane, and Brooke Shields.
So basically they went through a local video store and just went, what about her? Yeah. What about her?
And they all
what about
said
her?
No.
And they all said
and
no.
And finally got Laurie Singer.
I hope they didn't tell her that.
No, I hope not either. Frances Lee McCann, who plays Ren's mother, is only 14 years older than Kevin Bacon.
Oh.
Tom Cruise and Rob Lowe were both slated to play the lead of Ren McCormick. The casting directors were impressed by Cruise because of the famous underwear dance sequence in Risky Business.
Oh.
But he was not available because he was filming All the Right Moves. Lowe auditioned three times and had dancing ability and the, quote, neutral teen look that the director wanted, but he pulled his knee and the injury prevented him from taking the part. After watching Diner, the director decided to go with Kevin Bacon.
No, you say Tom Cruise wasn't available because he was filming All the Right Moves.
Yeah.
Also in that movie, Chris Penn.
Oh, that's true. Right. John Lithgow is only 12 years older than Laurie Singer that plays his daughter.
Oh.
John Travolta was also offered the role of Ren McCormick. Makes sense. But turned down the role. Now,
he would have been
super
much
old.
Too old.
Yeah. He looked old in Greece.
Yeah. Like, especially coming in, like, it would have been like if it actually happened where you had an old man's trying to go to a high school.
The movie, like you said before, The movie was adapted to a Broadway musical in 1998 at the Richard Rodgers Theater. It was nominated for 4 Tony Awards: Best Actress in a Musical, Best Choreography, Best Score, and Best Book of a Musical. Doesn't say it won, so.
It did not win.
No. Madonna and Haviland Morris auditioned for the role of Ariel Moore. So out of all those actresses they offered it to, Madonna was not offered the role.
Wow.
She just auditioned for it. Which, she, I mean, 80s, come on. That would have been, that was kind of early in her career, I say.
Maybe she insisted on having some songs on the soundtrack.
Yeah, maybe. The song Holding Out for a Hero features in Shrek 2. John Lithgow voiced Lord Farquaad.
Wasn't it in the first one?
In Shrek. This says Shrek 2. That could be wrong. I don't know.
Well, maybe it is Shrek 2. It's in one of them.
And the pitch for the film. This is fun. Michael Cimino, who I'm not sure he's one of the writers or producers, he proposed this film as a reimagination of the film as said to be a musical comedy of The Grapes of Wrath. That was the pitch for this movie. Not seeing that.
I don't quite know.
Yeah. So that's some of the fun facts. Now, Brian, you know, as we always do on our mini episode, is we connect the last reviews that we did to our current one. Now, our last movie was the Disney camp film, Heavyweights, and we have the classic Footloose. Now, did you think of any connections for this
I
at all?
I did. Okay. I was worried that it was going to be difficult with most of Heavyweights being a younger cast.
I thought so too, but there was
one very easy connection that I ended up making.
What'd you make?
So Tom McGowan, who was our good friend Pat Finley,
yeah,
in Heavyweights.
Who
you probably recall was in The Birdcage.
Yes, there you go.
Also featured
Diane
Wiest.
There you go. That's a much quicker connection than mine. That's great. I mean, we're playing a degrees of separation game. How can we not connect to Kevin Bacon?
Well, I thought that was obvious.
He's the man that, well, that's true, but I had to go to Kevin. And I actually went from star to star, which is obviously our two goals with these connections are either like the shortest moves, which you've done, or the star to the star,
yeah.
I like to do as well if I can't do it direct. So Ben Stiller was in the movie, which has a weird connection as well, because Ben Stiller was in The Secret Life of Walter Mitty with Sean Penn, Chris's brother. And then Sean Penn is in Mystic River with Kevin Bacon.
There you go.
And then another fun one I found, which is this is kind of my crowning achievement. If I couldn't do a direct connection, Max Goldblatt, who plays little version of our co-host Rick Maxian.
Oh.
Philip was in the movie Bushwhack with Daniel Stern.
Yep.
And Daniel Stern is in Diner with Kevin Bacon.
There you go. Well, also, if we're sticking with Ben Stiller and Tom Cruise, both in Tropic Thunder.
That's true, yes.
And Tom Cruise, Kevin Bacon, A Few Good Men.
That's true. Oh, yeah, that's true. That movie's so great, A Few Good Men. Now, Brian, so one of the things I was interested in looking up, researching, was the top, you know, like we said before, Dirty Dancing and Footloose were the two 80s dance movies. So what other movies are considered the top dancing movies of all time? Now, I found a list on the New York Post, which that seems like a reputable source, I'd say.
Fake news.
Well, Donald would disagree. But this is the 15 greatest dance movies of all time. Now, as always, we'll kind of take a look and see. Because I was not aware, I'll just repeat from the main episode, you had never seen Footloose.
Correct.
And you've seen parts of Dirty Dancing.
Correct.
So let's kind of see which one of these ones you perhaps have seen, and me as well. This is a movie that my wife owns from 2000, Center Stage, about ballet dancers.
I never watched it.
Yeah.
I was vaguely interested because Center Stage was the name for our high school.
That's true.
Theater
group. Yeah.
But I never ended up seeing this movie.
Yeah. Yes. Center Stage. I've seen this one. It's about the drama of a ballet school. Never saw this movie. Obviously aware of it. The movie that introduced kind of the world to Channing Tatum was Step Up from 2006.
What about Step Up to the Streets?
There's like, isn't there like five of those?
I think they've got a cinematic universe.
You know, there's a new, I was looking at movies coming out for this year. It's just a side note, like just 2006. There's another Saw movie. I thought that series was done.
Oh, I thought that was dead and
buried. Yeah, me too. But there's another Saw movie. All right, so.
I've not seen Step Up.
Okay. Footloose, which
I just saw.
You just saw it. You can add it to the list. Shall We Dance from 1937. This is a Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers classic.
I have not seen that
one. I have not seen that. I have not seen too many of those classic Fred Astaire movies. From 2000, Billy Elliot. Have you seen Billy Elliot?
I've seen the play.
This is a great
movie. I haven't seen the movie, but my takeaway from the play was it was just a bunch of people going, Billy doing ballet. No ballet for Billy. Billy, no ballet.
I don't think. Yeah, I guess they say that. And this, the movie, the 2000 movie, had a young Jamie Bell, who's in a lot of stuff now. This was his first role. It's a great movie.
It's one that I plan to see.
Yeah, you should see it. It's a really good one. Dirty Dancing, 1987. Again, another classic soundtrack that helps make the movie. I've, of course, seen this movie. I haven't seen it all the way through. Obviously, one of the movies that it not only put Baby in the Corner, but it put Patrick Swayze on the map.
Oh, you like that? Wow, you're a regular Gene Shalit.
I was gonna say, if I was Gene Shalit, that would be my line. That was pretty good. 2010's Black Swan.
I did see that one.
Yes, very. I saw that in the very theater. Weird movie.
It was.
Very, I mean, it's Darren Aronofsky, so it's going to be strange. So.
It was good.
Again, about ballet dancing. Flashdance. Oh, that's the third 80s movie that's like the
Everybody
three.
Let's dance. No. Flashdance.
It's like. Da, 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 what I'm feeling. What I'm feeling. Jennifer Beals. I've probably seen 85% of this movie.
I've seen the part where she dumps water on herself in every montage ever.
Or her welding. Or her doing her dance audition at the end. Those are kind of the big scenes.
It's the one where she does like the running in place thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen that one.
I haven't seen
the
movie, but I've seen all the moments in montages.
From 1992, Strictly Ballroom. This was like the first of the, or maybe, yeah, the first, I believe, of the Baz Luhrmann trilogy, the Red Curtain trilogy.
Yeah.
Because it was this, William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet and Moulin Rouge.
I've seen the latter two.
Okay, yeah. So this is the first one about dancing. 2006, the animated penguin dance movie, Happy Feet.
I think I've seen it.
Basically, Footloose with penguins is what they say. I have not seen Happy Feet. I remember when it came out that it looked like a fun. Robin Williams was one of the voices in this, right? Saturday Night Fever from 1977. You knew this was going to be on the list. This was the, again, like one of the best soundtracks ever. Just the Bee Gees. Just like that. And they just did a tribute to the Bee Gees on the Grammys.
A tribute to the Bee Gees.
To the Bee Gees. And again, this is Travolta. And due to that, they wanted him to play a high school student. Almost 7 years later, they're like, he could still be in high school. I would actually like to see the movie where he pretends to do a Never Been Kissed in the high school.
I would like to see that today.
Yeah, exactly.
With John Travolta. Just do another Footloose remake starring John Travolta.
John Travolta. Trying to be a high
with
school.
With no one acknowledging the fact that he is much too old, but everyone kind of knowing it.
Yep. From 1936, Swing Time. This is another Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers.
Nope.
From 1984, this is the first hip-hop dancing entry. Breakin' from 1984. I've seen this.
I have not seen this, nor have I seen
Breakin' 2, Electric
Boogaloo.
That one, they're dancing to save the rec center.
Oh.
This one, they're just, I forgot why they were
dancing.
It's
like that episode of the A-Team with Hulk Hogan.
This is a movie that a friend of mine had on VHS that they gave to me to watch in college, because I honestly, growing up, had seen Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo many times, but had never seen the first one.
Really?
And Ice-T plays a singer.
Hi.
He just sings.
I'm Ice-T.
And Lemonade. It's Lemonade, can't you? I'm just saying the Geico commercial.
I'm Ice-T.
It's my horrible Ice-T impression.
From 1948, The Red Shoes, adapted from a Hans Christian Andersen fairy tale.
This might be a surprise. I have not seen this movie.
I was going to say, I was going to be surprised if you said, this is the one I have seen 50 times. 2012, Magic Mike.
You know, it's a blind spot for me.
I've seen it.
You're married. How did you enjoy it? I know Kevin Nash is in it.
He is. Yep.
Big Daddy Cool Diesel.
Do you think those captured most of the dance movies or any other ones you could think of
I feel like it's incomplete without having Singin' in the Rain on there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
And West Side Story.
West Side Story.
Like, you know.
You think they maybe left out purposely?
I think they left out
a lot
of the musicals.
Yeah.
Just because there's an expectation
of
that the musicals are going to have the dance.
Yeah.
But leaving out,
because
especially Singin' in the Rain, you have Donald O'Connor doing
Make Him Laugh, which is one of my favorite dance sequences
ever. You have the Broadway melody, Dream Ballet. You have Gene Kelly dancing and singing in the Rain.
You have him doing his thing,
You need to include that if you're talking about the best dance movies.
Right. And also, probably would never be on this list, but I always enjoyed the scene from The Mask of Zorro where Antonio Banderas starts doing the sexy dance with
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Catherine Zeta-Jones to distract the businessmen from going upstairs. I always enjoyed that scene, but I'm getting a look now. So that was the list of the top 15 dance movies from the New York Post. I'm sure, much to Rick's chagrin, no, not really, because he does not enjoy losing to games that actually have skill in guessing. But we're going to play a version of that new keyword game.
Yeah. So as we introduced on the last game, with the IMDb pages, sometimes you get some plot keywords that make a lot of sense. Like for Footloose, you get things like high school dance and teenager or small town. Sometimes you get things that are a little less obvious, like father slaps daughter or group shower.
Father slash daughter.
Father slaps daughter.
Oh, slaps daughter. I thought like the father and the daughter
were
like...
No, father slaps daughter. Gotcha. Group shower. Male nudity. Things that you might not immediately think,
right.
Okay, this is related to this
More
movie.
More general.
So we're going to start with...
Well, let me ask you this, Brian. Do you want to read one and then I read one to you and kind of ask each other? Or you
no,
just want to be
I'm
the moderator?
Just, I'm the trivia master.
Okay, all right. So I thought I'd give you a chance to play for once,
oh,
but
no.
That's fine.
We're going to use Teenage Rebellion as our theme.
Oh, that,
here. So I'm
that
going
is
to
a
use,
popular category in many movies.
I'm going to use movies from that category, and I will read you some keywords. We'll do 5 keywords, and we will see if you can get the answer correct.
All right.
So for this one, with Teenage Rebellion as kind of the overarching theme, jock.
Sports movie, maybe.
Running.
Again, if it's the theme.
Geek.
Sports movie, jock, running. It's not that movie Lucas, is it?
It is not.
Okay.
We have 2 more. Practical joke.
Oh, Revenge of the Nerds.
Nope.
Damn.
Final clue. Reference to Barry Manilow.
Barry Manilow?
Reference to Barry Manilow.
Is it Can't Hardly Wait?
Nope.
Wow. No,
Is The Breakfast Club.
When is that? I don't remember them referencing Barry Manilow.
There's a reference.
I feel like for that one, the keyword should have been, well, they had jock and geek, but they should have, psycho,
oh,
princess. I'm, oh, they had those.
They were probably in there. I just
oh, you were just doing selective
I'm just,
ones. Okay.
I'm selecting.
Okay. I thought you were going in order.
No,
like,
no, these are randomly selected.
Selected. Okay,
okay,
gotcha.
Another one. We have... male bare butt. Mm. Also, bare butt male. So both
okay.
of those are there.
All right.
That's 2 for 1.
It's 2 clues. Mean the same thing. One could be a like bare butt. I don't want to ask how you spelled it, but I'm going to assume it's a
B-A-R-E.
Bear. Oh, damn it. I wanted to be a bear.
All right. Next one. We have bare breasts.
Oh, bare butt and bare breasts. All right. Some naked bears.
Coach.
Craig T. Nelson.
Driving in the nude.
Driving in the nude?
And your final one, whipped cream on breast.
Oh, that would be Varsity Blues.
It is Varsity Blues. You are 1 for 2.
Driving naked. I don't recall that happening in that
movie.
It's
important enough that it is a plot keyword.
Okay.
All right, this is going to be an interesting one.
All right.
Murdered before giving protagonist information.
Oh. Intriguing.
Prequel to cult film.
Murdered. Murder. A murder most foul.
Assassination attempt.
Whoa. This is some real rebellion. Violence.
Gladiatorial combat.
Gladiatorial combat. Well, this is not right, but I will either say Spartacus or Gladiator.
Nope. Jedi Knight.
What was the first one?
The first clue?
Yeah, the first clue.
Murdered before giving protagonist information.
The original Star Wars? A New Hope?
Nope.
Should I just go down the list?
Well, consider all of the clues.
Yeah.
Murdered before giving protagonist information. Prequel to cult film.
Oh, prequel. It's one of the prequels. All right, so let's go with episode 1, The Phantom Menace.
Nope, it's actually episode 2, Attack of the
Clones. Oh, okay. So who are they talking about, the murdered?
It's related to the bounty hunter that they're chasing in the beginning that try to get information from, and then Jango Fett kills that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I probably blocked those out.
All right, so you are 1 for 3.
1 for 3. How many?
2 more.
Two more.
Okay, here's one that you may or may not get. 7 of 7 people found this relevant. Princess.
I find that relevant as well, even though I don't know what it's referencing.
404 found this relevant. Bechdel test passed.
Oh, okay.
So pass the Bechdel test.
Good to know. With a princess involved.
3 of 3 found this relevant. One-legged man.
One-legged man. A one-legged man. Makes me think of a pirate.
2 of 2 found this relevant. Girl-horse relationship.
Girl-horse relationship. Wow, that sounds steamy.
We'll go back to a 7 of 7. Archery.
One-legged man.
I can remember that one had fewer people that were saying that it was relevant. So, princess.
Princess.
Archery.
I want to say... The only thing that's coming to mind is Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Nope. It is Pixar's Brave.
Oh, I've never seen it.
Well, that explains it.
I was thinking something like that, and I was like, well, I don't know if there's one-legged people in that movie because I haven't seen them.
All right, this will be the last one.
Okay.
California.
California.
High school sweetheart.
Ooh.
Record player.
Record player. Okay.
Car.
Oh, that's awful clue. Car.
That's a good clue.
Okay, car.
Drag racing.
Grease.
Nope.
God.
It's American Graffiti.
Okay. That was hard.
That was 1 for 5.
So let me ask you this. I got 1 for 5. How many of those you think Rick would have got?
-5.
Okay, so I feel vindicated there. Okay, very good. Well, that was fun, I guess. I think it's time at this point to jump right into... oh, where have these actors gone? Oh, where could they be?
Probably not famous anymore.
There's quite a decent... I mean, there were a lot of famous people that came out of this movie. I mean, you got John Lithgow, Diane Wiest, Kevin Bacon, Sarah Jessica Parker, Chris Penn. I think we'll still touch upon him because he did pass away, but... just to see his movies. But other than that, I mean, a lot of other people, who knows what happened. Laurie Singer, I think, is the one I'm most interested in because this was obviously her most famous movie.
Yep.
So, like, but I know she did other stuff around the time, but...
Her most recent credit is God Knows Where I Am from 2016.
It's a voice credit, so she's probably a narrator, I believe. Okay.
She was in Experimenter. She was on SVU.
Of course.
Of course. Some TV credits. Like, she really started picking back up around 2014, doing a few more credits.
I wonder if she, like, stopped to, like, have a family and then decided to get back into...
But she had some stuff in the early 90s. Shortcuts might be one of the more prominent credits that you
recognize.
There's
a lot of people in that movie, yeah.
Yep. Warlock.
Oh, with Julian Sands. Is that his name? The British guy? Yeah. And Richard E. Grant.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that movie. That was a movie that I would sneak downstairs, turn on HBO, that would be on, and it would be like too scary when I was young.
She was in the Man with One Red Shoe with Tom Hanks in 1985.
That's a classic Tom Hanks movie that I've only seen parts of. I feel like I need to go back. Like, he's mistaken for a spy, right?
I think so, yeah. Probably before Footloose, the thing that she was most well known for was the TV series Fame.
Oh, right,
she was
okay.
On 38 episodes.
Yeah. Which that was a huge show at the time.
Yeah.
Fame! Again, well, the movie and the show, again, very iconic soundtracks.
Yep.
From that. All right, Laurie Singer. How about, why don't we look up Chuck, who was her boyfriend? We'll go from Ariel to Chuck, who was...
Chuck was played by Jim Youngs.
Jim Youngs with an S.
With an S.
Okay.
So in terms of his acting credits, he's not up to anything lately. He's 60 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
His last credit was on an episode of NYPD Blue in 95.
Oh, not even a Law and Order.
He was on Babylon 5 as well.
Okay.
Not even a Star Trek.
Yeah, he does the adjacent shows.
He does the Hydrox of shows.
Exactly. President's Choice.
He was in Cyborg 2, Glass Shadow.
Oh.
Skeeter.
Was that Cyborg 2? So that was, Jean-Claude didn't come back for that one.
No. But that one did have our favorite from the Ninja Turtles movies, Elias Koteas.
Oh, really?
And Jack Palance.
Wow. Yeah, Jack Palance did a lot of those sci-fi weird movies at one point.
Yeah. Also on an episode of Silk Stockings.
Ooh, that's a sexy show.
pretty much Footloose is his most notable credit, probably.
All right. Next person I'd be interested in is, like we said, you know, she wasn't that much older than him, but the woman that played Kevin Bacon's mom.
Ethel McCormick was played by Frances Lee McCain.
Yes, that was her name. Yep.
She's in some very prominent
films. She looks very,
films.
Like, seeing this movie again, I was like, she looks like, I recognize her from something else besides this.
Well, if you're looking at her recently, if you are a viewer of this show, you might have seen her in Preacher.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I watch Preacher, yeah.
Yep. Perhaps most famous credits include Back to the Future.
Oh, okay.
Stella
yep.
Baines. Mm-hmm. She was in Gremlins.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Lynn Peltzer. She's the mom.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then she's also in Stand By Me.
Oh, I like how you
emphasize
Stand By Me, not next to me, by me.
It's about Stephen King because he wrote the story.
I thought it
he
was.
He also wrote The Stand.
I thought it
was
about.
He was talking. He's like, it's a stand by me.
Oh, I thought you were just emphasizing like it's a story about someone who's bisexual.
Oh.
Stand By Me.
By men. And
she's
also in Patch Adams.
Okay,
she
wow.
She's in Scream.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So she's one of those ones where you might not have immediately...
She's a character actress.
Yeah, you might not have immediately recognized her, but she has been in some very prominent films.
Excellent. Wow. Good for her. I can't really think of too many other people that I need to know about, except ending on Chris Penn. Is there anyone else you could think of you'd be really interested to know where they ended up? I mean, like the guy Woody, the friend, I'm sure he didn't do a lot of their acting stuff.
We can check.
Yeah, why don't we check?
I mean,
why not?
Does have a current headshot.
Oh, well, there you go. You got to go with that.
Actually, he's, I mean, a lot of the current credits are things like Weaponized and Forgot 10.
So they're like sci-fi channel movies.
Looking back at some of his other credits, he was in The Rock.
Okay, wow. Because he just plays like a big beefy like soldier type guy.
Yeah, he also was in Silk Stockings.
Wow.
Improper Conduct. So
ooh.
I think he had
a porn turn.
A run there. But he was in The Lawnmower Man.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He was in Under Siege.
I thought you were going to say he had like a late night USA.
Yeah. He was on Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, wonderful. He went up to Cabot Cove. I think that's where Rick is, maybe. He's in Cabot Cove, Maine.
Probably.
He's solving mysteries.
And before Footloose, he was actually in An Officer and a Gentleman.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Yeah, because he's probably like a soldier. Again, he's like a beefy guy. So.
And connecting to heavyweights, he was in 1979's Summer Camp.
Oh, nice.
Which I think was a movie that we didn't see.
No, we have not seen. No, it didn't come up on the greatest summer camp movies.
Well, it is a movie called Summer Camp.
Okay, Summer Camp. And now we know. And yeah, like I said, why don't we kind of, I know he kind of died too soon.
Kinda.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe it was kind of under tragic circumstances as well. Chris Penn.
Yeah, he passed away in 2006 at the age of 40. Found dead in his home.
Okay. You know, this movie was like the one of the first ones I saw him on the scene, and then obviously his memorable roles like Reservoir Dogs and things like that. But like we said in the fun facts, the director or the writer wrote this movie specifically for him. So
I think he rewrote the role for him.
He rewrote
so,
it
like,
for
he
him.
Was cast and then he customized it.
Ah, okay.
So like,
gotcha.
With including the scene with learning to dance and stuff.
Because
he didn't have that many credits before Footloose.
Was he just known as Sean Penn's brother at that
Probably.
Point?
So he had been in Charlie and the Talking Buzzard.
Oh, is that one of the sequels to The Chocolate Factory?
Who knows? He had also been in one episode of Magnum P.I.
Oh.
And Nobody's Heroes in 1983, where the cast is him and Martin Sheen, and he wrote and directed it. So
really?
I'm guessing
it
was probably a short film.
Yeah, yeah.
He was in All the Right Moves, as I mentioned, and Rumblefish.
Oh, Rumblefish, Matt Dillon.
Yep, and The Wildlife, and then it was Footloose.
Okay.
But most, like...
What's The Wildlife? Remind me of that.
So that is a movie from 1984, so that came out, you know, probably months before.
Yeah.
He is top billed in it. It also has Eric Stoltz in it. It's an 80s teen romp that involves Bill and his new apartment, Jim and his rebellious antics, Tom and his crazy self, and Anita with her older man, David.
This is a movie I've seen the poster of, and it's like one of those like 80s teen sex romps that I'm like, I feel like I missed out on not ever seeing this movie because it's not a, it's not like a, like a famously known one, but it seems
but
like
it's one that you might have heard of because it was written by Cameron Crowe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's why I wanted to see it because I love Cameron Crowe.
Yeah. It might be one of those ones that is out of print because I
we'll have
I
to check Amazon.
It. Yeah. But then after Footloose, of course, he continued on with a number of credits. Pale Rider. With Clint Eastwood.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And Michael Moriarty.
He was in the Rip Van Winkle episode of Shelley Duvall's Fairy Tale Theater.
I remember that
he
episode.
Will Tussenbrook.
Who played Rip Van Winkle in that episode?
Harry Dean Stanton.
Oh, Harry Dean Stanton. Yeah.
It also had Ed Begley Jr.
Wow.
And Mark Blankfield from Saved by the Bell, The New Class.
Oh, no.
He played
James. I thought it was going to be the guy that was the actor that worked at the Max for some reason. This,
yeah.
He was in the original ones, though, just the new class.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's the guy that went Harvard.
Harvard. He reappeared in Saved by the Bell, The New Class.
Yeah, okay.
He was also in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yes, because he was Blinken.
Yep. But I chose to go with his stint at the Max.
The new class, yeah.
Well, great show, Fairy Tale Theater.
Yeah, that was fun. I always watched that.
Best of the best.
Best of the best, the karate movie with Eric Roberts.
Yep.
They made like seven of those, too.
Then, you know, Reservoir Dogs, True Romance, Shortcuts.
Yeah, that was like his heyday.
Beethoven's Second.
Sorry.
All the highlights.
That was his heyday.
He was in Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Mulholland Falls.
Yes, I remember
Rush
him
Hour.
In that. Yeah.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Corky Romano.
Oh, of course, classic.
Stealing Harvard.
Never saw it. That was a Tom Green movie, right?
Yeah, with Jason Lee.
Yeah.
Starsky and Hutch.
He was in that.
Oh, yeah. There's another connection we can
another
do.
Connection. Ben
Chris
Stiller.
Ben Stiller, yeah.
Yeah, right there.
Episode of Entourage as Chris Penn.
So
but
he
then
was
his,
doing...
his final credit was Aftermath.
Aftermath, okay.
With
TV
Anthony
show or
Michael
movie?
Hall. It's a movie.
All right. It's like 80 stars.
It has Anthony Michael Hall, Tony Danza.
Wow.
Frank Whaley. So some of the favorites.
That sounds, yeah.
Friends of the podcast.
Yeah, many have been.
It's just missing a Corey.
R.I.P. Chris Penn.
R.I.P. Chris Penn.
Well, Brian, it's almost at that time to sign off, but why don't we end with, you know, last time we did a mini, and I just had to remind myself to be a little more consistent when we do our mini, just our updates on our movie challenge that we're doing.
So I am currently...
So we're recording this on the Saturday before President's Day.
Yes. Currently at movie number 73.
Holy moly. So you are way ahead of the curve. That's my goal. I'm at movie 60.
Yeah.
So that's still,
we're both staying on pace to be ahead.
Yeah, I'm about 10 ahead of the day.
Yeah, I've got a couple work trips coming up, so that'll probably give me a big hit.
There you go.
So I'm trying to make sure I stay at least like 15 to 20 ahead for those days.
That will be a good pace. So.
Yeah.
I am surprised. It's like I fell short a little bit, and then a couple days I'll make up a couple. So sometimes you have to just power through a few stinkers to catch up a little bit.
My most recent one was Lilo and Stitch 2. Stitch has a glitch.
I was not even aware of that.
Direct to video, but fairly short running time, so it still counts, but it gets me a little ahead of the curve.
Any kind of good recommendations, though?
I did just watch David Brent, Life on the Road, the Ricky Gervais movie that follows his character from The Office. That was pretty good.
A couple ones I can recommend is I saw, just a real quick one, so going back here, I saw the Jesse Owens movie Race, which is an inspiring sports movie. I saw one of the movies that everyone was talking about last year and finally saw Hunt for the Wilder People.
Oh, how was that?
It was funny. It was good. I enjoyed it a lot. It's great Sam Neill role. It's good to see him getting like real good roles. It's like Jurassic Park, but he's been doing a lot of stuff. I wasn't blown away. I think I really had a high expectation, not blown away, but just the typical, I was very impressed, as always, by the typical Guillermo del Toro visuals, this Crimson Peak. Which was fun. It was an enjoyable movie. And then just a couple of the classics that I had blind spots for. Iconic sports movie Hoosiers with Gene Hackman. Actually, I had a Gene Hackman back-to-back. I had Hoosiers and I had Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, so. There we go. I saw Arrival.
Oh, I did. I do
really
want to see that.
That was really good.
Yeah.
Lego Batman movie was fantastic. And I got a free Lego set because I saw it at AMC and I'm a Stubbs member.
Ooh, you're a real Stubbs. And on that note, Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. I'm Mark, and for Brian and Rick, who's somewhere probably riding a moose, just remember, you can always paint the grass green. Good night. Goodbye. Brian, I challenge you to angry gymnastics dance right here in the Movie Cave satellite office. Wow. He's going for it. Oh, my. Off the wall? Now you're swinging on a rope. Where'd that rope come from? Who puts uneven bars? Flew right in the air. What do you have to say for yourself after that routine?
I really need some Gatorade.
Sorry, we only have alcohol in this house.
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this mini episode of the $5 Bin Podcast, and join us next time for our next full movie reviews it. You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5 Bin P-O-D, like us on Facebook, or email us at the5dollarbin.podcast@gmail.com. You can download episodes on iTunes. When you do, please leave a nice rating and review. Helps others to find the podcast as well. Why, thank ya! For information about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances like our March 10th fundraiser show, you can visit natickimprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook. Big thanks once again to Jenny Weech and Jeff Kimball for the $5 Bin theme song. And until next time, Cinemaniacs, hasta la vista, baby dirty dances!